we are also facing a number of challenges right now in Wauchilouk near Malakal, but also in former Unity State, where there is really still the same kind of human rights violation, which is killing of civilians, sometimes along ethnic lines, which is of course very worrisome. Also sexual and gender-based violence. Also people who have been arrested, arbitrary and prolonged detention, abduction, people who are really in detention without any possibility to know even where they are so far. And they are facing a lot of challenges. They don't have access to their lawyer. They are not brought before the judge, the court. So there are really a lot of violations. And we have also a huge number of South Sudanese who, during the last few months, have left the country and they are now refugees in the neighboring countries. The most group is in Uganda.
For those who stayed behind and who are in the country, are they living in fear?
One can understand why they are living in fear, because there are really a lot of violations. And most of the time, people are killed or are injured for things that they have not done anything. So basically, this then, of course, they have to fear, because anything can happen to them. So that's why some of them just decided to go in exile in foreign countries. And there is also internally a number of IDPs, and you all know that in South Sudan there is a specific situation where we have protection of civilian sites that are really under the responsibility of the UN. And we have now under four protection of civilian sites almost 200,000 of people who are living there.
And these people cannot go home?
They are afraid. First of all, if they want to go home, it has to be on a voluntary basis. And we would like really to encourage them to go there. But even for some of them that I've talked to recently, they are saying that they cannot go there because they don't feel that they are safe. And if they are afraid of the military, they have the feeling that anything can happen to them if they are leaving the POC site. Where we went in Malakal last week, it's only the women most of the time who can go out, because the men have the feeling that they can be killed if they are going out. For the female, it's different, because some of them can be raped, and it has happened. We have a number of cases. And so that's why they are really still in those camps, because they feel that they can be protected within the POC sites.
What steps has your office taken to try and discuss these issues with the government and the parties to the conflict?
We have to discuss with the government, because the primary responsibility to protect civilians, especially South Sudanese, lies with the government. So we are on regular contact with the government to make sure that they can really, first of all, stop, because there are a number of violations, especially the majority of them, by the way, are committed by regular forces from the government. So it's the responsibility of the government to stop those killings, to make sure that those who are committing those crimes are going to be held accountable, to bring them before the court, and make sure that really impunity will stop, because as of now, impunity is really one of the key human rights challenges that South Sudan is facing. So it's important to have this dialogue with the government on a daily basis. And it's not only with the government, but the government has the key role to play in this regard.
What about the parties to the conflict?
Yeah, of course, it's unfortunate that other actors are also committing human rights violations, because it's not only about the government, it's also about the opposition. You have SPLA-IO in opposition who have been committing atrocities. And most of the time, when even they are fighting each other, the victims are civilians. So it's really important to make sure that all the parties have to sit together, have an agreement, have a ceasefire, come up again with the will to implement the peace agreement that they have signed in 2015. It was so difficult for them to reach an agreement. And at the time of the implementation of the agreement, they are now coming back to war. And this is not acceptable. They have to know that there is no solution with the war. It only can be through a political process. And they have to sit together at the same table and reach other agreement if need be, so that at least they can really come up with the implementation of the peace agreements in the interest of the majority of the population.
So what can the global community do to help remedy the situation?
They are putting a lot of pressure on the government so that the government has to stop some of the violations. Sometimes it's difficult because sometimes they deny what we have been seeing. But at least I think it's important that we have to monitor, and this is one of our responsibility, and try to bring the evidence that this is really what is happening so that we can really assist the government to take some concrete measure against those who have been involved in committing atrocities. You remember that Adama Dieng, when he came in South Sudan in November, he was even referring to a risk of mass atrocities. And I think that there are civilians who are really killed based on nothing else than their ethnic origin, which is, of course, unacceptable.
As the head of human rights for the UN mission in South Sudan, working in that kind of environment doesn't seem easy. What's it like to work there on a day-to-day basis and work with the team to try and at least monitor or bring to light some of these violations?
One of the challenges that we are facing is that we are not allowed to go in some places. So access denial is really one of the challenges that we are facing on a daily basis. And it's difficult for us to be able to do a proper report on what is happening in terms of human rights violation if you don't have access to some of the places. Because a report should be credible, should be accurate, and to be able to have an accurate report, we need really to go in those places and have also the contacts with the victims, the witness, and also with the government, the SPLA and the local authorities, so that they are also giving their own part of the story, so that we are really have a balanced report at the end. But it is really difficult in that environment. There are people, especially the colleagues from civil society, human rights defenders, human rights activists, journalists, who are also facing a lot of threat from national security, from SPLA, etc. And at the end, some of them have also decided to leave the country, and they are now refugees in Uganda or in Kenya, and which is really unfortunate. It's not for them to go out of the country because it's their own country and they have a role to play to develop South Sudan.